Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles, a business strategy podcast where we provide insight to those looking for creative, executable strategies built around the latest disruptive ideas, innovative cultures, product creators, and marketing solutions. Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles. Today, I would like to talk about product, but more so in a case of a product commercialization that was poorly executed in the marketplace. And this case study, I think, will give you a realization of, as a brand, you know, what do you need to do in order to ensure that everything is vertically aligned with your brand? And all of this is driven off of, we talk about the vision, the visionary at the top of the company that sets the strategy and what the brand stands for, how the brand talks, how the brand looks, how the products look, how you're going to effectively realize a lifestyle or a improvement in a process, whatever it happens to be for your consumer. But there's a process to doing this. And when you short circuit this process, you'll see there's many instances where brand equity is damaged, sometimes beyond repair, unfortunately. But I want to go through this process again, just so everybody, you know, we can understand how these short circuits can happen. Visually, you'll be able to take a closer look on how your company is running, how your company is doing this effectively from a product commercialization standpoint. So when we look at this, I go back to what I call the power triad, the product, marketing, and sales team. These are the three drivers of a brand, of a company. Now, there's obviously many other functional areas that will connect directly into one of these three areas within the power triad. But I just like to talk about these three because they're the most tangible to brands. They're the most tangible to people inside of the company, outside of the company. So it's just natural that we talk about this power triad. And I mentioned power triad. And when I look on these three dots on the triad, the very top of that is always product. And it always starts with product. And when you look at opportunities in the marketplace that you may have, opportunities to develop product to maximize market share growth in a current category you have, and or any new opportunity you see with a incremental category. So all of these are driven off of product. Now, sales may very well come to the product team and say, hey, here's an opportunity. But guess who realizes that vision? It's going to be the product team. But now it certainly has to be driven around how the product or the brand is positioned in the marketplace, and or if they have any authentication in the category that they're looking to go into. Now, these are a lot of considerations prior to putting pen to paper. And this is where the product team at the very front end of what we call this phase of product opportunity, product line planning, whatever it happens to be in your company or brand. When I'm doing these sessions with brands, we always want to make sure that all areas within that power triad are covered: product, marketing, and sales. Now, everybody will come in later, but when you're looking at the strategy sessions, the product line planning sessions, all of this is driven around finding an opportunity in the marketplace. Is it right for the brand? Is it something that we can commercialize? And what's the timing look like as to when we can sell this and potentially capture market share? And so when you look at all these opportunities, you want to make sure, again, first and foremost, it's right for the brand. It's right for the vision of the brand. But there is a process, a stepped process to commercializing a product, and you can't take shortcuts. So when you look at the very top end of this product line planning strategy, product is going to take those ideas off the product line planning or strategy planning that you have each year, each quarter, whatever it happens to be, and they'll go through an ideation phase, concept phase, sample coordination, concept development, whatever it happens to be. And again, this can be for products, this can be for technology, a service, a SaaS, whatever it happens to be. But everything starts with an opportunity and strat session, and then it's realized through the product team. And I say it's realized through the product team because that's a critical component to this cycle, this product life cycle working properly in the marketplace. One area that many brands fall short is they try to short circuit the timing. Sales wants it a quarter earlier than we planned for. Hey, on the front end, the ideation and the sampling process or the overall process of commercializing this service or product has taken a month longer than anticipated. So there's always ways that product, marketing, and or sales or somebody tries to short circuit it. Now, there's a way to do that, and there's not a way to do that. So you want to make sure that if you're going to do that, that everybody's on board with the change. Now, it can't be that marketing overrides product and product overrides marketing. Those kind of follow along this life cycle. And there are many brands that you see out there, and if you've seen them, you know that they're a marketing brand more than they are a product brand. They're a product brand more than they are a marketing brand. And then you've got the machines that are both product and marketing execution, and they do it extremely well generation after generation. So I say make sure first and foremost that you have this power triad, this cohesive team, one that works together like a machine. And you must have the vision for the brand and then define what the brand stands for to your team and community. And once you have that, these opportunities come to the table, you put them through this machine and through this product life cycle. So first and foremost, you go through product on the ideation phase, sampling, making sure that everything is correct, and then commercializing this product. But throughout that product process, the reason you have the entire team on the front end is because marketing needs to know what's coming down the pipeline. Now, that may seem logical to a lot of people, but I've been with many brands and also brands we work with Liquid Mind, where marketing doesn't know what's coming down the pipeline. There's no annual product line planning process. There's no master scheduling process. And there's no strategy around what comes next in the pipeline in addition to timing. I mean, all of these things could be potential issues for marketing. And you want to make sure, and that's why I say a cohesive team, one that works together like a machine, that each anticipates and knows what each other are doing, and they know how it's coming along in the process. Meaning that marketing has time while product is going through the commercialization process to get everything prepped and ready to go for that product to eventually hit the market. And sales knows the timing of when it's going to be available to hit the market for them to sell. So what happens many cases with brands is they try to short circuit that process, and they end up shipping a product that's not ready, a product that does not have the proper marketing platform behind it, whether it be social, digital, in-store, POP, online, website, whatever it happens to be from a commercialization standpoint, marketing has a job to do. And if you try to short circuit marketing, it's not going to be a representation of what you want that product to be, product line to be, or service to be. And visually, it's going to convey that. And as a result, consumers will either be confused by the product itself, the performance of the product, your messaging on the product, and it'll be a harder sell-in. And the other part of this on the back end is, as salespeople know, is not only is it a harder sell-in, but once it gets in store, it's going to be even harder to sell out. So you want to make sure you have this cohesive team in place on this product lifecycle planning. So there's this what I call foundation of this power triad in which the brand was built upon. And as soon as you start sacrificing and shortcutting this system, this process that you have in place, you short circuit your brand equity. And as a result of that, it's something that you lose loyalty, trust, and also your community and credibility in the marketplace. And believe me, it's a lot harder to rebuild than it is to build. So you want to make sure that whatever you do, you follow this process. So I wanted to bring up what I would call kind of a case study of a brand that when they were getting into a new category, one that was outside of their comfort zone, let's say, and they saw an opportunity, and rightly so, they were doing extremely well. And where else are you going to build revenue? You either gain market share within the current category that you're in, or you go after a new incremental category that's parallel to what you're currently doing and complements what you're doing. So in this instance, Under Armour decided to go after football cleats, which is a natural transition. That's where they started. Kevin did a great job, basically built the foundation for what we call the compression apparel market today, and authenticated himself on the apparel side and felt that it was an easy transition to move it over to football cleat opportunity. basically building this vertical uniform for athletes under the Under Armour name. Now, positioning wise, marketplace wise, category wise, marketplace and positioning, yes, product category, no. Football cleats are a whole different animal. Footwear is a whole different animal from apparel, which is where their core competency was. But when marketing looked at it, they felt that there was an opportunity to take this brand into football cleats. But the problem was that they leapfrogged over product. Yes, they wanted to get into this category, and yes, it made sense, but only when they were ready. So when they put pen to paper, they felt football cleats was an opportunity, but it would take time. And unfortunately, what happened in this instance is that they had a plan and a release schedule that needed to be met for their retailers. So as a result of that, they built a product that was inferior in a product that didn't match the messaging. They were a product that were put in the feet of athletes that trusted the brand from the previous products that they had, and all of a sudden they were inferior. They either didn't fit right, they were falling apart, and a myriad of issues that they were dealing with on the football cleats on their initial release, effectively having to pull the product line and start over. What's interesting about this story is that success was driven by the fact that they did have brand equity, that they did have the right positioning, that they did have the right messaging. Under Armour had great messaging, and it matched what they were selling as far as a product and why they actually gained about 30 to 35% market share in the first season they shipped the football cleats. So what it proves is that, yes, if you have your brand positioned correctly, if you've authenticated that brand within a parallel category, in this case, apparel, that you have, to a certain degree, earned the right to be able to extend that product offering within the category, in this case, football cleats. So when you kind of set the table, it obviously made sense from a strategic standpoint. It's a very big market. There's the big three out there, that Under Armour, Nike, and Adidas in the football market. And it's very, very difficult for other brands to enter a category such as football. And so it made all the sense in the world. Where they fell short was bringing a product to market before it's ready. Kind of leaning on the fact that marketing and sales had the programs in place and the date had to be met. So when you look into your product line and when you're looking to release products and a case study such as this, where yes, it's right for the brand, yes, you've earned your right, no, it's a new product category, so you have to be very careful of whatever you put out there that manages expectations and that the product matches the category tier of your other categories, such as apparel. So this is a classic case of sleepfrogging over product when they're not ready to bring something to market. So when you do your planning, anticipate delays, anticipate the fact that you're going to have to make adjustments along the way, and ensure that you have what I call this innovation pipeline of products, where you can adapt products that are what we call inline products with the technology that upgrades them for a next generation. So what I mean by that is that there are many times where a product may not be ready for prime time, and instead of releasing that product, do an incremental update with a technology that can adapt itself and make the product better. The challenge that Under Armour had in this case was it was a new category. So the planning process, the product team needed to have the lead on this and carry the reins forward as to when they feel this was going to be ready for market, and being able to manage that process throughout the entire commercialization of the product and indicate when they feel it's going to be ready. Unfortunately, the anticipation was so high with the brand. Retailers were wanting the product. Consumers were wanting the product. And the seasonality matched the timing that marketing and sales had shown to them. So product had to adapt, and as a result, shorten the commercialization process, and as a result, put a product that was inferior in the marketplace. So lesson learned on this case is that Under Armour came back obviously very strong after pulling the product from the market, gained most of, if not all of that market share back. So an impressive story for Under Armour, but a tough lesson learned. And the other part of this story was it happened a little bit after the football cleats was when Under Armour wanted to enter the run market. And this wasn't about product so much as it was about the actual authentication of the brand. Now, Under Armour had a great positioning within the traditional sports, football, basketball, baseball, whatever it happens to be. Then you're going to move into a specialty run sport who is very rabid about authentication of the product, authentication of yourself as a brand, and then entering the marketplace, basically earning your stripes. And in this case, Under Armour had not earned their stripes. And as a result, they were not accepted into the marketplace at the outset. And, you know, the same thing happened with Nike. And as big as Nike is, you run into a run specialty market, you're coming up against the perennial favorites that's all they do 24/7 is run. So when you come into a market, make sure that you understand that you have to authenticate that product first. Make sure the product is ready. If you're coming into a new category, such as run, such as football, whatever it may be in a service you're providing or a new category of product you're providing, make sure that you understand the market you're entering, number one, how to authenticate yourself, number two, ensuring that the product is ready for that market and that you put it on some brand ambassadors. In this case with Run, you want to have authentic runners who have evaluated the product, reviewed it, and done an independent review of the product, and for good or bad, give that feedback to the community so they can make their own judgment. So the points that come out of this case study, I'll call it, whether it be product or positioning in a particular new category, the thing I want to impress on you as a brand or as a company is earn your stripes first. And once you've done that and you've established yourself in a category similar to a Nike, an Under Armour, an Adidas, there's different reasons for entering a market, but it's always consistent around building and creating a product and commercializing it for the community that are passionate around that lifestyle. So making sure that you're ready for prime time before you distribute your product is key to success. I want to thank you for listening to the Visionary Chronicles. I really appreciate your time. I know that you've got a lot of other things on your plate, and I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to listen to the Visionary Chronicles, so thank you. You know, our intent in creating the Visionary Chronicles was really to address not only critical business issues, but also personal plus professional issues that business owners, entrepreneurs face on a day-to-day basis. So if you could and you like what you hear, certainly the support helps and the reviews are tremendous. So we really appreciate all those of you who have given us reviews. And as we move forward and you give us a review, we're going to be giving away some product as a thank you for those reviews, and also take a look at the Visionary interviews, Visionary Chronicles interviews that we have coming up as well. So if you have somebody who you feel would be a good subject for the Visionary Chronicles, we'd appreciate you having them reach out to us as well. They can go to my site, Brian Smeltzer, BrianSmeltzer.com. Go to the podcast section and you'll see the Visionary interview. So again, thank you for your time. I appreciate it as always and look forward to our next Visionary Chronicles podcast.